you're just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculpture.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Hello, Amy.
Hi, Kitty. Are your top's a bit... Is it dirty or are those embroidery...
These are embroidered Oops. Images on
Sorry.
My shirt.
I thought...
Fashion smudges.
They could be actually called fashion smudges.
Oh, hey, I thought it could be a little bit of Friday, but my glasses aren't very good, so I'm sorry about that.
I don't blame you. Who Arted for the week?
Okay, so down to Who Arted, we'll be chatting with Abdul Rahman Abdullah about his work in the upcoming show Dark Horizons, which is opening this Saturday at Te Uru Waitakere. Welcome, Abdul Rahman.
Hello, Amy.
Thank you for coming in.
Okay, thank
you. For everyone who doesn't know, well, you'll be able to pick up maybe from the accent a little bit. Abdul Rahman is an Australian artist whose practice explores the different ways that memory emerges from familiar spaces, often using animals, humans and crafted objects. That are using the narrative capacity of animals, crafted objects and human presence through sculptural installations, he creates a dialogue between the natural world and the world of politics and the effect of culture. Sorry, that was a bit of a garbled mouthful from me.
It's close.
I wrote that this morning and I haven't proofread it. Naughty, naughty me. Okay, so the combination of your storytelling elements in your work are just incredibly strong and bold visually and aesthetically. It creates a very powerful presence. For example, the image on your landing page of your website is a child wrapped in a white sheet with giant black bison horns to sort of describe them, I suppose. You live and work in rural Western Australia. How rural is it? And what inspires you to use the animals you do in your work?
Rural in that it's a farm, but it's a farm in the metro area. So it's sort of it's a big farm still, cattle farm. So it's 3,000 acre farm, but in the suburbs.
Yeah.
It's a weird setup. Yeah.
Wow. And so you're primarily you're attracted to those animals because they're the ones you're seeing around you, or is it
No, not at all,
symbology?
Not at all. For me, living on the farm is a very recent thing. It's my wife's family farm, and we got married a couple of years ago, and I moved there because it's such a beautiful place to live and work. But I really have nothing to do with the actual farming side of thing. I pet my goat every now and then, but that's about as close to farming as I get.
Are you vegetarian?
Not at all. Okay. I'm a massive carnivore. We breed. My father-in-law's a farmer, and it's our cattle property.
Yeah.
And those cows are delicious.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I was really interested about that because they are so symbolic as well, and I was wondering how that came through. For the listeners, it is worth going and checking out Abdul's website. It's abdulrahmanabdullah.com. Now that post is up.
You
on
have
the
to spell that.
Yeah. Well, I
it's
think
it's a long name.
Okay, A B D U L R A H M A N A B D U L L A H. There. Okay. Okay. So the symbolism in your work is very impactful, almost spiritual. It is. Well, it depends what you define spiritualism as. Your work in Dark Horizons is of three angry black hounds, angry because their teeth are bared and they're in mid-chase, underneath the ambient glow of a series of chandeliers. Through such symbolic juxtapositioning, your work negotiates shared understandings of individual identity, new mythologies, and marginalised outlooks. What does your work in Dark Horizons say about marginalised outlooks in the multicultural context?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about that one because, I mean, it makes the most sense, and it's a work which is here in Auckland and people can actually go and see it. In a nutshell, it's these three black dogs running through space, which is 25 chandeliers over about six by six square meters. Yeah, so it creates this very glittering, aspirational, beautiful space, which as an audience, you walk into and you're being chased out of it by these three dogs. I mean, they're carved from wood, so they're a very static thing, but as you walk into the space, you'll be kind of confronted by these three angry dogs. And I guess call it symbolism, I guess I like to call signifiers. the whole show, Dark Horizons, with my brother, Abdul Abdullah, who's also in the show, in Khalid Sabsabi, and myself, it's all about borders and boundaries and where those borders exist and how those borders are contested.
Yeah.
And where those borders are, you know, physical spaces or geography or they're, you know, a mindset or a perspective and where you sit in relation to that. And a lot of that for us is coming from this perspective of being a Muslim in Australia and what that means politically, culturally, socially. For me personally and that work, it's called The Dogs, which is quite...
Oh, is that what it's called? Okay.
Very mysteriously titled, The Dogs.
No, interesting. Yeah, interesting. Go, yeah.
Well, there was a couple of, you know, there's always a starting point and then, you know, what it becomes. And for me, that starting point was the idea of dogs and the traditional view of dogs from a Muslim perspective. Actually, dogs are considered haram, they're forbidden, except in the cases where they're used for... I mean, this is just the traditional historic view, but it's the one you grow up with. Unless they're used for practical purposes, guard dogs, hunting dogs. So they're always, from that point of view, seen as very, you know, territorial, and they define a border. They define something which you're either inside or outside. And so that's why I wanted to sort of create this analogy for... From my own experience, being chased by dogs when I grew up, there was plenty of that.
Yeah. Whereabouts did you grow up?
I grew up in Perth, but I always grew up in the city. This moved to the a farm was quite, like I said, quite recent. So I was always in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
That idea that these dogs can define a border and make the audience decide whether they're on the inside or the outside of that. But those dogs are chasing you out of that space.
That's really interesting because is it completely installed yet? Because it's opening this Saturday.
It's opening on Saturday. No, we're doing the install now.
Oh, yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing how I react to the work when I go in, because from the photos, it looks like they're running furiously under the chandeliers.
Yeah.
But it just sets up a really uncomfortable feeling because the chandeliers are such a representation of bourgeois kind of...
Oh, yeah.
And which for your bourgeois nationalism, perhaps, I don't know if that was intentional.
Oh, absolutely. That's what Australia is, bourgeois nationalism. Which describes it very well.
So for people who are not 100% clear on what that is, that's a practice by the ruling classes of deliberately dividing people by nationality, race, ethnicity or religion as to distract them from initiating class warfare. So you see these angry dogs running under the warm sort of glow, which offers a bit of hope in a way, but that glow is from that bourgeois kind of national kind of, 25 chandeliers. And they're just, and also the dog, interesting when you talk about dogs being forbidden. Is that, when you say forbidden, are you meaning forbidden in that they are not allowed as pets? They're just...
I mean, this is the traditional sort of view of it, where they're not regarded as pets, they're not regarded as companions in the way that, you know, in Australia and New Zealand and a lot of the world, they are, you know, totally regarded as sometimes more fondly than people's own children, you know. Fat, happy dogs of the world.
Well, they're the perfect kind of... Andy Warhol said that dogs are like coming home to a dog is like coming home to the perfect nuclear family.
These dogs can be savage creatures and they are being used in that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the kind of dogs you've sculpted, they look like... what breed are they? Because they look like kind of like a hound or something.
Well,
that you'd
when
see.
I was doing it, I wasn't going for a specific breed. To me, it was more important that they were black dogs, because the fact that they're black dogs is actually very much a part of it as well. But they were based on a particular dog. When I was looking at my references, it's an Oberon, this French sheepdog, which is actually a really... It's like a very chunky Doberman.
They're quite beautiful, but they remind me of, I can't remember the full name of the title, but the hounds of, there's a story, an English story where
the hounds of Baskerville.
Yes, they're quite scary.
When you think of sheepdogs and these things were like big, black, there's like, like these are... I don't know why we're talking about the particular breed, but they look like they're Dobermans, but on steroids and pumped up like with Roy's Rottweiler colours.
And they're dark, so that's really representative of, we've always considered, I have a black dog as representative of depression. For you, do they represent anything?
Well, that's funny, because I've done a few works about that idea of the black dog, and it does represent depression in that way. But for me, I wasn't talking about it in those terms. It was... The idea of the black dogs, again, traditionally, is they're representatives of Satan. And so...
They definitely look evil.
And so when you're... And it's one of those things, like, coming from a Muslim background where there's no imagery, there's no sculptures, there's nothing to... We don't have any pictures of them. We don't have a Santa Claus, you know what I mean? There's no imagery to support the, I guess, the stories from within. And so when something's described in such clear terms like a black dog. And as a kid, you will encounter a black dog on the street.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it as a representative of Satan. There's a whole other level. It's almost existential. You know, you're going, I'm going to avoid you.
Yeah.
And when you're surrounded getting chased by one of those, you run. So there's a few different sort of cultural layers to what a black dog specifically will mean. But the fact that it points to, you know, depression, it sort of, I guess it ties into that. It just wasn't where it came from initially.
No, but it's interesting because it kind of goes back to what you say about you create these spaces and everybody, it does cross over so many.
Yeah.
I can see the Anglo-Saxon heritage in me definitely gets quite a strong reaction from it, as, you know.
Yeah.
So, interesting in that sense.
That's part of the reason I use animals, because everyone brings their own sort of relationship or their own mythology to, you know, things as domestic as dogs, cats, birds. This is, you know, these types of animals I use. And so people bring their own stories to it. That's a bit of a strategy, but, it's I guess you're building on people's personal mythologies.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, I haven't seen it in the flesh, but I
hope you still think that when you see it.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh my goodness, I'll be on
next
week.
I'll be watching your
next week. I'll have to make a public announcement apologising for all the compliments I paid your work.
It was shit.
Yeah, it was actually really horrible. Don't anyone go. Okay, so more about Dark Horizons.
Ignore that bit.
It's a suite of three interconnected solo exhibitions exploring the state of global anxiety through the lens of the Muslim migrant communities in Australia, as we've just sort of spoken a little bit about. The artists in the exhibition are Malaysia and Anglo-Australian brothers, you and your brother Abdul Abdullah, and also a leading Lebanese-Australian moving image artist, Khalid Sabazi.
Sabsabi.
How is it working with your brother? How intensely do you work together?
He's my younger brother, but he's actually been an artist for a few years longer than me. I sort of, not followed him into it, but I went through the process after him. I guess.
Oh.
No, we work together a lot. He lives in Sydney, I live in Perth, so we're separated by a little
good
geography.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not, we get along very well.
Really?
We're best of friends.
Wow.
We're peers, we're allies. We're part of, you know.
That's good.
Brothers. There's actually a third brother too, but
really?
He's not an artist anymore.
We got kicked out of the cool artist brother club.
We don't talk about that. No, but I work
don't
with
like
my brother.
Your ideas.
We actually have a conscious decision to do at least one project together each year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the past 6 years or so we've done that, and it's something that we will continue. Oh, no, we're very much allies.
Oh, I love that.
And we do, yeah.
And what work has he contributed to the show?
He's got one main big piece, which is it's a work, and then two smaller works, but I don't know how you describe this big 6-meter sort of panoramic view of the Hindu Kush mountains, which came about after these conversations he had in Makassar with some young refugee guys from Hazara refugees from the Afghan-Pakistan border.
Yeah.
But the work itself is it's like 6 panels, and they interchange with embroidered panels and paintings.
Oh,
yeah. So he started off as a painter, but he does a lot of photography and does a lot of embroidery work now.
Yeah, I'm quite keen to see that.
Yeah, so there's this big multi-part panoramic view of the Hindu Kush Mountains, and it's overlaid with these big fluorescent smiley face emoji.
Oh, yeah. So
images.
Those are his? Oh,
yeah, those are his. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're gorgeous. I love them.
And then there's these two other works which are purely embroidered, which... you have to come along and see.
I will. I'll come
along.
Yeah.
Describing them isn't the same as just
I know, but it helps for our listeners. It lures them in like art bait.
Oh, they are beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Mm. They move you.
Well, because when you describe people, it's embroidery, people are like, what does that mean? And it's like, they're really lush.
Does he use traditional kind of embroidery materials, or is he using hairs and different fibres with his embroidery, or...
A slightly blank look.
Okay.
No, I didn't do them.
That's
so,
all right. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
All right. No, there's no, like, it's all thread, cotton thread.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really densely laid up.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah. Just before we sign off, because we do only have a limited time, we often talk about, not just you and me, but us in society often talk about the pain and the difficulties, but we don't often spend much time talking about what the ideal perfect future would look like. And I know it's a big question, but what does the perfect future look like to you?
as happy as warm, full of kids. I'm very optimistic.
Kids happy?
Oh, yeah, I just had a baby this year, so I'm all about
you're allowed
family
to be
kids
in it. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Smells good, the future. I'm very optimistic, you know. I forget to be in a bad mood.
Oh, that's
I start
good
off that, and then I lose track, and I'm back to being happy.
You start
then
getting
I'm planning
happy
dinner. Yeah, that's okay my day.
Oh, that's good. I think it's good to focus as well on the positive future because, let's, you know, if we see it, then we can make it happen, right?
That's where a short attention span works wonders when you're going, now, was I in a bad mood?
Yeah.
Then decide no.
I started off the day bad, but now I'm in good mood. Oh, thank you so much for coming and having a quick chat with me this
no
morning
worries
on the
thank
show.
Thank you.
Dark Horizons is opening on Saturday at Te Uru at 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock. And Te Uru...
Artist talks at 3 o'clock.
Oh, sorry.
Openings from 4.
Openings from 4. So get along. Try and make it for 3. It's actually not that far away, by the way. It's only 15 minutes. 15, maybe 17 minutes.
17 minutes up the hill. That's all.
That's all. And it's totally worth it. I went to the last day of From Scratch show last week and regretted not having dragged myself out there earlier. So make sure you get out there this Saturday for the opening. Thank you so much for coming in. Lovely
no
to
worries
chat.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Ooh, I like this.
Trey chic.
Trey cool.
Touche.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.